Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
Chances are, even if you are gainfully employed at the moment, someone you know is looking for work, perhaps for 6 months or longer. On the other hand, maybe you're the person who's wishing you could find the right applicant. If you're looking for a job or a new job, have you been sending out so many resumes you're sure that by now every employer on the planet has rejected you? Many people get jobs through their social network, so let's see what our expert friends and authors of Hired: Pathways to Employment in the Social Media Era can tell us about changing things up so as to change the response to your job search. I'm Jane Karwoski, experimental psychologist, Dr. J, and host of the Social Network Show, along with my co-host, Jim Nico, founder and CEO of Social Network Intermedia. Let me tell you just a bit about Jeff Sheehan and Al Smith, our guests. Al has been an executive for 7 companies in 5 industries and has over 35 years of management, sales, marketing, training, and coaching experience. He's always had an innate ability to transfer skills, and so now he aids candidates with their most challenging sales and marketing experience, that of job transition. On average, he has helped one person find a job every working day for the past 4 years. Jeff Sheehan spent over 30 years in global high-tech sales, marketing, and advertising with customers such as Intel, Apple, IBM, HP, AT&T. But luckily for you, who have yet to find your next job, he is now a marketing consultant and job search mentor. Jeff ranks in the top 1% of connected people on LinkedIn. He is one of the top 50 people most retweeted in the world by mid-sized marketers on Twitter. He speaks frequently in the Atlanta area on use of LinkedIn, personal branding, social media, and marketing, all in the cause of a successful job search. He and Al both devote much time to charities and to volunteer work in the career ministry of their respective churches in the Atlanta area. Welcome, Jeff and Al, to the Social Network Show.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Glad to be here.
You guys are as well qualified as anyone I've ever heard. Amazing. Thanks for coming back.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Do we have to write you a check for this?
I appreciate it. I could use the dough. Thank you, sir.
Well, Jeff and Al were on our Sunday edition of the Social Network Show a few weeks back. And in this first segment, let's talk about some of the great ideas in your book, Hired: Paths to Employment in the Social Media Era. Actually, that would be, would you say the title of your book, please?
It's Hired: Paths to Employment in the Social Media Era.
Okay, thank you. I was suddenly thinking it was Pathways, but it's Paths to Employment.
Close enough for government work.
then we'll later get into some thoughts on the job market after the break. But can we start off with just one or two things that our listeners can do that might make a big difference, but not require too much in the way of effort? Because, you know, sometimes the energy level has been on a downward trend during a long job search. So any effective but not too effortful tips for them?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head right there with regard to a downward trend on the job search. I mean, both Al and I have worked with thousands of people over the last 4 or 5 years, and basically we see it all the time. It's quite evident with regard to people that have been looking for work that can get extremely discouraged. But I think what they need to do, one of the first things that we advocate they do in a multifaceted approach to the job search, is really determining what they have a passion for, do a self-assessment. There are various tests out there that they can avail themselves of and use for determining what they really are good at and what they have a passion for. And using that is the criteria for moving forward. Don't go looking for positions where you're not going to be happy, where you're not going to be a fit, what have you. So that is the first thing that we advocate, or one of the first things within the book. And then Al's going to talk, one of the things we ask that you do after that is gather all the materials. And Al, I'll leave it to you.
Yeah, just to expand on Jeff's point, one of the things that we tend to do when we are in job transition, when we've lost a job, it really can negatively affect our psyche.
Mm-hmm.
So we just feel that we're not part of the human race when we don't have a job. And a way to get to find your value again, we suggest that you, what we call, harvest a bounty of riches, because all of us have them. Old resumes, performance reviews, put together all your group accomplishments, examples of your work, reports that you've done. Here in the South, we call things like that attaboys, articles that might have been published about you or things that you've published, professional assessments that have been done, your recommendations, list your associations, go through your accomplishments or ask other people to say what you're accomplished at, your skills and certifications, attributes, for goodness sake. What are your college activities? What do you volunteer at? And even if you're young, some of your childhood activities. Then all of a sudden, when you put all these things together, you can actually see that you have value. There are reasons why people should hire you.
Right, and you know, that sounds very similar to what we were talking with Alan Katzman about on social assurity. He is dealing with students in high school looking to get into a great college or university, and they say so many of their applicants are qualified, they have to go beyond that. And he says, just show us that you're an interesting person.
Sure.
So it sounds like you're talking about, you know, gathering these things, and I can think that it would be very reassuring. I know it would be to me if I'm looking for a job and feeling, you know, it is very hard on you.
And it makes them take some key points from there and actually post them or paste them to your PC or your wall or whatever, so you have a daily reminder. These are all the good things I've done in my life, and they'll keep you going with God to this.
And it's not bragging. It's just saying exactly, very cold, matter-of-factly, these are the reasons why I should be hired.
And is that something that you would do and primarily through social media? I mean, can a person conduct their entire job search through social media?
No, absolutely not.
No, okay.
Jeff speaking, it's basically, they should be using social media as a tool, but it's not an end-all. It's not one-size-fits-all, cure-all, whatever you want to call it with regard to the job search. Use it as a tool to facilitate connections, to facilitate networking, because the fact that the networking is what is really going to help you get a job. And
yeah.
Al, you have
there's some kind of scary statistics that I got from something called Millennial Branding, and they did a multi-generational job search study, and it just so happened I gave a speech this morning and showed this slide. But if you take these three age groups, boomers, Gen Xers, and millennials, all three groups spend over 90% of our search time online. 90%. And unfortunately, 82% of all jobs are never posted. So we're spending so much time online at the same place that everybody else is. And of that time that we spend online, baby boomers spend 87% of their time on job boards. Gen Xers 82 and millennials are the smartest of the bunch. They only spend 77% of their time on job boards. So no, the online efforts that we have are great tools, but it's still a person business.
Right.
Okay, so let's go to that. The jobs that are not posted. That's always been an issue for job seekers. How does one access those?
There are a number of ways, but let's think about Google for a minute.
Okay.
Google something, and according to another study, which I can't remember what the name of it was, but they say that 33% of all search traffic goes to the entity, whatever the entity is, on page one, number one, a third of all traffic. And what's good for Google is great for job search. And one of those tools that puts you up or gets you up to page one, position one, is SEO, search engine optimization. And we do a process that we call Words to Work that uses the best of SEO for each job title. It's more involved in what I'm explaining to you now, but it's a part of this process where we find the right words that are an acronym for your job title, use them in the correct long tail search strings, populate your online profile and your resume, so that when you're submitting things for the posted jobs, you get through the black hole that we call it, where you and you're actually going to somebody with eyeballs instead of just search results, and you're also being found for those 82 to 85% of the jobs that are never advertised.
Okay.
So they're looking for you and they can find you.
Ah, all right. So is that explained in your book, Hired?
It is. As a matter of fact, we devoted an entire chapter to keywords and Boolean searches. It's just that important.
Okay, super. In our next segment, I have some questions for you regarding the labor market, but also I want to hear about that amazing success story you told me about off the air last time. And it's one of those, results are not typical, but it did happen. So we'll go into that in our next segment.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
Kelly Keller, an intellectual property attorney specializing in internet law and social media issues. Join me on The Kelly Keller Show right here on the Social Network Station. Together with my guests, we will tackle tough legal problems presented by the ever-increasing use of social media in everyday business. Through dynamic conversations, we will discuss your rights and responsibilities in the new media world, so the hard work you have put into developing your brand, business, and products does not go to waste. How does the law's response to the social media explosion affect you? Join me on The Kelly Keller Show to learn more.
Now, back to The Social Network Show.
I'm Jane Karwoski, and you're listening to The Social Network Show and our visit with Jeff Sheehan and Al Smith, authors of Hired, Paths to Employment in the Social Media Era. So anyway, let's see, Al, I wanted to hear about your story. But first of all, Jim had a question for you, what you just mentioned earlier.
Yes. Can you just give us a very, like, one-sentence definition of long tail for our listeners?
Well, okay. Basically, if you look at, I use long tails all the time because I post consistently on Hootsuite, some of the other platforms out there with regard to marketing, social media, content. And one of the things I do is I use long-tail searches, which incorporates several words in a search string within quotation marks. So rather than just say marketing, it would be marketing tools, or marketing strategies, or marketing strategies for business people. So it's a multiple search combination, because what it does, it tends to focus and drive the search results down. Because if you took a major category such as, say, jobs, you would have 100 million hits.
Mm-hmm.
Break that down, jobs for dentists, the jobs for realtors, the jobs for this or that. By limiting and increasing the number of keywords that you use within that search string, then you'll narrow the focus and you'll have a considerably more targeted approach to the overall search.
Okay, well, thanks. We make more than just a few,
that is what
couple of words.
Skill keywords are. They're two or more words that are grouped together within quotation marks for a search string.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Al, you have some interesting stories.
Yeah, here's a couple of clients who were more than successful, quickly successful. We had one who, she was in the training area, the safety training, she lives in what's known as the Cancer Alley area of Louisiana near Baton Rouge, in between Baton Rouge and New Orleans. And she had been working for a company for 20 years. She had a really good reputation in the industry. A new president came in. They clashed heads. She got the boot. And despite how good she wasn't getting anywhere in her search. So she came to work for us. She came to hire us on a Thursday. She went through our process called Words to Work on a Friday. She really busted her tail to get a new improved profile with the right keyword and long tail string of keywords. By Saturday, she posted her new profile. By Sunday, she was getting calls to come in for interviews. And by Tuesday of that following week, she got two job offers. And there's other folks that have had similar results. One guy who had no college degree in his 60s in the banking IT vertical. He had been out of a job for 18 months, and when we started using his correct word, he got a job quickly. Another one real quick, who had brain cancer, who'd been out of a job for over 2 years. She trained people in IT, and she got a job. She's been with a job for over 2 years now. And even young people, like a communications officer who'd gotten a master's from Northwestern, he went from zero interest to three offers that he chose among. So it works at all levels of people as long as they can provide a job title. We can find the right SEO, the right word, to get them found, and then that's part of the process to maintain views and get to be above 20 to somewhere near 30 even profile views every single week.
That's great. And so it's all in the words. So that is a real important reason to read that chapter in your book, Hired: Paths to Employment in the Social Media Era by Jeff Sheehan and Al Smith. Okay, I want to find out about those fields where there's reportedly a labor shortage. Nursing comes to mind. I hear that's one. And bringing them and the unemployed together. What are the barriers? Is it just that the workers aren't in the place where the jobs are available, or they don't know about them, or they can't move? What's going on with that?
Actually, most of them don't have the training or the skill set that's necessary to fit the jobs that are out there. And it's something that's a real problem out there. And one of the things that, in talking about this last night at the Career Ministry, is people have to continuously learn. They have to, when they, any particular job that they have, continue, what are the skill sets that are going to be necessary 2 to 3 years from now? And continue to look at those.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, look at opportunities, or if people are out looking for jobs, where there are barriers to entry for those. If any good business person, if they're buying a company, they want to buy a company or buy stocks in companies that have barriers to entry to prevent other companies or other individuals entering that respective industry or profession. So you look at things that require certifications, CE credits, ongoing training and what have you with regard to your job search or anything that you're doing, because the fact that you do not want to be displaced by having essentially soft skills 2 or 3 years from now. So
Ah, okay. So if you obtain those requirements, then it's actually a form of job security that you're building in.
Absolutely. But you also have to continue to look over your shoulder because of the fact that even within some of those areas, things constantly change. Change is inevitable. We're continuing to pivot, and the world will continue to pivot because technology is growing exponentially on a daily basis with regard to replacing the skill sets of people. So they have to be constantly on the outlook for what is next, what is going to help them enhance their position as a respective employer and keep them current so they will not be displaced by someone that's more capable or from some emerging technology.
Well, Al, what are some of the other barriers? Are employers, for example, are their expectations different now?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there was a study, which I wish I could put my hands on at this moment, that the number of requirements that a lot of companies are putting in their jobs for job requirements has increased almost 50%. From, if I remember the numbers right, they've gone up from about 7 requirements to 12 or so. And it creates what's known as a purple squirrel. That is actually a recruiting term. That means the company is looking for somebody that's virtually impossible to find.
Uh-huh. Well, that doesn't sound like they're going to fill many positions.
the perfect candidate, they keep pushing out the search and pushing out and pushing out, trying to find the right person.
Well,
it's funny to see recruiters talk about how they put jobs out there, and even people in that current position don't qualify.
Well, that should tell them something. But doesn't that cost the company a lot of money?
Absolutely. It's to me, it's ridiculous because it costs money to post on a job board. I mean, it's tens of thousands of dollars that can be a fixed cost or it can be a variable cost. But if it's variable, then they have to put it up there again, and they have to create the new search strings, and they have to do the initial screening, and all these things cost. There's a high-priced talent acquisition person that has to do interviewing. There's lower-level people that do phone screening, but the cost of a hiring manager being out of their position, what they're supposed to be doing, and then the crazy panel interviews. We've had clients, one had 10, right. One had 12, one had 14 people that he had to interview with, and they didn't hire anybody.
Well, the chances of getting 14 people or even 10 to or 8 to agree on a candidate, the more members, the less likely you're going to have an agreement.
Right.
I call it hiring paralysis. We invented that era. And as a matter of fact, there was a study done in Australia. It said that 90 or 92% of the companies that have hired over the last several years have not been happy with their hiring, the people they've hired. So what does that tell you? I think what was happened is with the evolution in the whole hiring area in the use of things called ATS or applicant tracking systems and taking a lot of the human factor out of the hiring process, that they're now hiring people that really aren't fit for the job, that they're having so many people involved in the process that it's made it virtually impossible to hire a good candidate. Yeah.
Well, is there any way that the job seeker could use that knowledge to advantage in interviews?
Well, we think so, yes. And sitting down with somebody, if you're in an interview situation and you're sitting down with them, and we had a client, actually he started this past Monday, where he'd been interviewing with companies in one of the commodities that they had jobs that were open, they put them off, and so on and so forth. And this was going on for months, and quite frankly, he was hurting. So what we had him do, and this was not, we weren't making anything up, but we had him go to one of the employers, the one that he really wanted to work with, and say, look, I understand that you want to put this thing off, and in this case, it was 3 or 4 months that they wanted to put off a hiring decision. But you know, I'm interviewing with two other companies in this industry and one outside the industry, and I want to work for you guys. That's, he said it plain and simple, I'd rather work for you, but I've got to get a job. Uh-huh. I have to go with somebody, and I'm being interviewed by other people. So I'm in demand. You need to, you know what, or get off the pod.
Well, the also, is there a way of pointing out what it's going to cost the company? You know, in the meantime, sir, you have this vacant position.
Yeah, and going through that litany of things that I mentioned before, a lot of people just don't think about it. And a potential hiring manager can say, hey, look, this is costing my area of expertise, whatever it is, it's costing my group money not to fill this spot. The ones that are there being overworked, I'm wasting my time trying to hire people that, and we're not losing this. I can go, they can go back to their superiors and say, let's do this. It needs to be done for the betterment of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the other thing that Al and I have found over the last multiple years, working with church ministries and that, is basically that most companies do not train their people on how to hire or how to interview people.
Right.
So people are going out interviewing people in companies for their companies without any training in that area. They don't know the right questions to ask to interact with people. It's a real problem area.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate all your input today, and I want to remind listeners that your website is hiredthebook.com, and I think you even have a table of contents there that was very interesting. So
right.
You can see just exactly what the book goes into, and it's reasonably priced, so we hope it'll be a big advantage to many people who are currently unemployed or underemployed and looking for a new job. Thank you so much. That's Jeff Sheehan and Al Smith, and their book is Hired: Paths to Employment in the Social Media Era. I'll get it right.
Thanks for having us. It's been fun.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.